Please turn with me in your copies of God's Word to the letter of 3 John. This morning we will be looking at verses 5 through 8 of the third letter of John. As we begin this morning, I'll begin reading in verse 1 through verse 8. Hear now, once again, the word of God. The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, so that we may work together for the truth. This ends the reading of God's word. Please bow with me once again as we seek his blessing. Our eternal Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word that you have preserved throughout the ages. And we ask now, Lord, that you would impress it upon our hearts and our minds. May you grant us understanding. May we come away, Lord, enacting what we learned this morning. And, Lord, may you bless my mind and mouth, that I may, Lord, speak and think with clarity and boldness. And in Jesus' holy name we ask this. Amen. Several years ago, back in my hometown of Kansas City, I saw this one person walking towards me, and they had this t-shirt that had an orange construction barrel on the front of it. And the phrase at the bottom underneath the barrel was simply Kansas City Landmark. And so I'm sure it's something that every big city has in common. We see construction zones everywhere. And if you're like me, sometimes you drive by and you see these workers just kind of standing there, not doing much. And I always wondered, you know, what are these people being paid for? And I wondered this until I worked as a concrete truck driver for a short time, and I learned firsthand that a lot of the reason why these people are just standing around is because someone like me was either lost or late or was dispatched later than they should have been. And I can tell you from experience, it's not a pleasant thing to arrive on a construction site when the foreman has been watching his employers just sitting there, or employees sitting there, wasting money. See, there's a construction site, all you see is just those that are visibly working there. There's a lot of things that go into a construction site that we don't see. People that play important roles that you don't see firsthand. And there's a lot of people working behind the scenes that, in an essence, are fellow workers with these construction workers and the work that they are trying to accomplish, whether it's a road that needs to be repaved or a building that needs to be constructed. There are those behind the scenes, in a sense, who are fellow workers, be they dispatchers or concrete truck drivers or just suppliers in general. They all work together for that common goal in whatever they are building. And this, in essence, is what John is addressing here in these verses this morning. Fellow workers in the gospel, fellow workers in the truth. And so the theme that we're going to be looking at this morning is that to become a fellow worker in the truth by receiving Christ's servants. Again, the theme we'll be looking at is become a fellow worker in the truth by receiving Christ's servants. Well, in verse 5 here of 3 John, John again begins by addressing Gaius as a dear friend, or as I mentioned last week, beloved. It's showing the deep love and concern that he had for Gaius. What he mentions in verse 5 is that you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. And so the first point we're going to be looking at is the brothers slash strangers testify of Gaius' faithfulness and the love he showed them. Again, they testify of Gaius' faithfulness and the love that he showed them. Now, this word faithful that John uses here is really a bridge, in a sense, from the preceding verses to what he's about to address in these verses. It's a connecting word that connects the idea of walking in the truth that John has just praised Gaius for, and connecting it then with this example of walking in the truth that John is about to recount, and the testimony that they received from brothers who had been shown love and hospitality by this man, Gaius. And so these verses are a description of, an example of, Gaius walking in the truth, as we covered last week. Walking in the truth, walking according to God's word, following his commands to love him and with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. This is an example of Gaius loving his neighbor as himself. For as John points out, these men were strangers to Gaius. We recognize and he acknowledges that they are his brothers in Christ, but he had not known these men before. They were complete strangers. And I'll recall to your mind what we learned in 2 John, a little bit about hospitality in this day and age. Hospitality in this day and age, if a stranger came into your community, they really would have no standing. They would not have rights, in a sense. But if someone of that community took the stranger in, especially someone of prominence, it would give credence to that person and support, saying this stranger is someone to be trusted, someone to be welcomed. And so this is what Gaius is doing to these strangers that come into his house. These brothers that he recognizes as brothers in Christ, yet he had never met them before. You might think of the testimony of these brothers as a biblical Consumer Reports, in essence. Or maybe a biblical, if you've ever seen the website or used it, Yelp. Yelp.com. It's a website that I've become familiar with, especially as Alicia and I have become familiar with the surrounding area. When you want to go out to eat or try a new restaurant, you look on Yelp.com, and everyone has an opportunity who has eaten there to give their testimony of how good or bad this certain place is. Well, these brothers, having stayed with Gaius, have gone back to their home community, to their home church, in a sense, where John is, have given a good report. They've said of this Gaius, he is a good and faithful servant of Christ. Not evidenced merely by his words, but evidenced by his actions, in his showing love and hospitality to these strangers. And so his walking in truth is evident in the love that he visibly showed. And the challenge to us all in this is that may our walking in the truth be as evident. May our walking in God's word be as evident as it was in the life of Gaius. May people see it visibly in our actions and not merely our speech. And so John continues in verse 6 to encourage him to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. Encourages him to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. This phrase, sending them on their way, you could think of it as a missionary technical term, or a technical term for missionary support. This type of phrase is used in the New Testament for sending people out, supporting them in their work and proclaiming the gospel abroad, in their work as a missionary. So this is what John is encouraging Gaius to do, to not merely receive these brothers or brothers like them in their missionary work and show them hospitality, but to send them on, and send them on in a way that is worthy of God. Send them on in a way that where they will be supported in their calling as they move on to their next destination. This phrase in a manner worthy of God is used elsewhere in the New Testament. Some examples are in Ephesians 4, verse 1, where we are encouraged to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. In Philippians 1, 27, we are told to live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And in Colossians 1, verse 10, we are to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12, we are to walk in a manner worthy of God. These verses ultimately point back to the truth. How do we walk in a manner worthy of God? How do we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, or in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ? These verses, when you look at them, they point us back to living according to the Word of God. This is how we walk in a manner worthy of God. In essence, we are to live as Christ lived. If you think about Jesus Christ, His life, and He was Himself the embodiment of both love and truth, together, existing in one person. In our society, we like to separate these two things, love and truth. We like to say that they're not necessarily good, they don't necessarily go together. But Scripture teaches that love and truth are to be united. They do go together, as they are embodied in Christ and shown in His life. And so when John encourages Gaius to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God, he is simply encouraging him, or to send them in a way that is in line with how Christ lived and how Christ taught. In our society, the idea of family honor doesn't really have a whole lot of weight. But there are societies that do place a heavy weight upon the idea of family honor. Not living in a way that will bring shame or dishonor to a family, but conducting yourself and living in a way that brings honor to your household. Well, and this is what John is speaking of here. To simply receive these men and then not send them on our way properly would not have honored or been worthy of God. Would not have been in a manner worthy of the grace and the love that He has shown us. But He was to keep in line with His status as a child of God and the family of God, and send His brothers on in a way that honors God and is worthy of Him. And so in this life, we too must continually strive to live in a way that is worthy of God. This is not easy, to live as Christ lived, to follow His ways. But He does promise to give us His Spirit and to give us His strength to persevere in this area. So we must continually strive to live in a way that is worthy of our Father and worthy of our Savior. In verse 7, we begin to see a contrast here with what Paul addressed, or John addressed, in 2 John. And this third point, in contrast to those who went out in 2 John, these men have gone out for the sake of the name. Again, these men have gone out for the sake of the name. Now, the NIV is very helpful here and capitalizes the word name, making it pretty clear what John is intending. But we really have to ask, how do we know that the word name here should be capitalized? How do we know that it is the name of Jesus Christ in which John is referencing? Well, we know this, especially pointed out in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Jesus was given the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow. Whether in this life or the next, every single knee that has ever lived will bow to the name of Jesus Christ. This is a great comfort. Even if someone never bows their knee in this life, they will bow before Him in the next. And the call of the gospel is to bow in this life, to kiss the Son, lest His anger be stirred. But this phrase, the name It's also used in Scripture in referencing Christ. It is used in Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 21, and Romans chapter 1, all referencing the name. In particular, referencing suffering for the sake of the name. But in Acts chapter 15, verse 26, and also Acts 21, verse 13, these verses link this name directly to Jesus Christ. And so we know that John's description here of going out for the sake of the name is not some other name that we need to question, but it is the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But there is a wonderful contrast here that John is making. And to see this contrast, we do have to look back at 2 John. If you look back at 2 John, verse 7, he writes, "Many deceivers who do not acknowledge that Jesus Christ coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist." You see, in 2 John, there were deceivers who have gone out. Deceivers. He even calls them Antichrists. Those who were denying the truth, denying the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he had come in the flesh. But unlike those who had gone out in 2 John, who were deceivers, going out in essence in the name of their Father, who is the chief deceiver, the chief Antichrist, Satan himself, these brothers have gone out in the name of their Father, in the name of their Savior, in the name of Jesus Christ. They've been sent out for the sake of his name. As a modern day illustration of going out in the name of something, last month, as I referenced before, Don Lamont and Don Piper and myself went to visit the LA congregation of the RPCNA. We went there in the name of the Pacific Coast Presbytery. We were representing the Pacific Coast Presbytery in LA. And so likewise, these brothers were representing the name of Jesus Christ. They were his ambassadors, in a sense. Missionaries on a mission not to proclaim deception or falsehood, but to proclaim the very truth of Jesus Christ. And so what we have to ask ourselves is, whose name do we live by? Do we live by the name of the deceiver, as in those in 2 John, or do we live by the name of Jesus Christ? We are called to live by Christ's name alone, and to go out in our daily lives for the sake of his name, even to the point of suffering for his name, for his name's sake. So by receiving these servants of Christ, Gaius becomes a fellow worker in the truth. So by receiving these servants of Christ, Gaius becomes a fellow worker in the truth. In this translation, there's a little play on words that is lost, where in verse 8, John writes, "We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, so that we may work together for the truth." This phrase, "show hospitality," is just literally receive. John is saying we must receive these such men so that we may be fellow workers. This is a nice parallel to verse 7, which the same word is used there. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to receive such men so that we may work together for the truth. And this is also not only parallel to what's in verse 7, but it's a parallel also to 2 John. In verse 10, "If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work." Again, as I mentioned earlier, the idea of hospitality in this day and age is not simply providing a meal for someone or a place to stay, but it was receiving them in the sense of giving them credence to the community around you. And if you were, John is saying, receiving someone who was proclaiming a false gospel, not proclaiming the truth, that you were showing to the community around you that they are worthy, they are good, their message is good. but also like not receiving these false teachers, as John commands us in 2 John. Here, in 3 John, he commands us and writes that we are to receive those who are preaching and proclaiming the truth of God. You see, by receiving the truth, we share, in a sense, in their work. By receiving those who proclaim the truth, we share in their work. Much like the contrast in 2 John of welcoming a false teacher, you share in their wicked work. Here in 3 John, by receiving those who proclaim the truth, receiving them in a manner worthy of God and sending them on their way in a manner worthy of God, you are sharing in their good work, in the truth. In our visit to the LA church, I met for the first time an elderly couple who live in a house that is quite old. It was built by the elder gentleman's grandfather, I think. And they continue to live in this house, and the community has grown up around them. But their house has such character and is so unique that they actually have been used, or their home has been used, in different movies and TV shows. And there's currently a new TV show that started this fall called Raising Hope, and this is their home that is used in this TV show. And he remarked one time how the TV show CSI used their house for one episode. They came and they worked there all day. At least 150 people just invaded their property, and they sat and they watched. And then when the time came for that episode to air, it was 4 minutes. Just 4 minutes of airtime. And he marveled at, and I marvel with him, just all of the people that it takes to make our entertainment. And we see this in the credits of a show, or we see this in the credits of a movie. After a movie is ended, the cast's names go up, but then all the crew's names go up. And it keeps going and going and going. It never ends. And sometimes they torture us by putting a little tidbit at the end to keep us there. And we have to wait and wonder. But there are hordes of people involved in making one movie. And there are many people involved in making one TV show. We always see are the actors. All we see are the actors on the screen. But behind them are countless others who, without them, this movie or this TV show would not have been made. See, those who have been called to proclaim the gospel officially, those who have been called to either preach or to go out as missionaries, see, these are the people that we see regularly. These are the people that, in essence, are on the front lines, much like the actor is on the front lines. But there are countless others who, without their support, they would not be able to do their work. And this is what John is calling us to do. The work in the truth is not mainly for the preacher, it's not mainly for the missionary. But working in the truth is for all of God's people. And we are called to, in these verses, to support those, whether it's financially, whether it's through material possessions, whether it's simply through prayer. We are to support those who have been called to proclaim the gospel of Christ. Missionaries, preachers, whoever they may be, to show them our support, especially to pray for them in this way. And so we become fellow workers, not necessarily in a way that stands out and is visible to those around us. But we all become fellow workers in the truth when we support those who have been called to proclaim the truth. When we call those who have been, or support those who have been called by Christ as His servants. Much like the construction workers, though you see only them, they are dependent on those who are supplying their needs. Much like the actors who are all you see on the screen, they are dependent on countless others to make that movie or TV show. So too, the kingdom of Christ, His gospel going forth, is not dependent solely upon those who visibly take it forth, but is dependent on all of God's people supporting them, chiefly through prayer. And by supporting Christ's servants, we become a fellow worker in the truth. And we share in their work. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that You would strengthen us all as we seek ways that we may become a fellow workers in Your truth. And we, above all, pray for those, Lord, who are given the task of taking Your gospel forth to the nations. I pray, Lord, that we would support them through our prayer and support them through the finances that You have given to us and in any way that we can, and so become a fellow worker alongside of them. We pray, Lord, that You would strengthen us now throughout this day and throughout this week. May You uphold us, Lord, as we now leave the very throne room of grace and head back into this world where we face struggles and fights and battles, Lord, throughout our daily life. May You, Father, be with us as You promise and give us strength to endure. And in Jesus' holy name we ask this. Amen.